Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 220.
There's times in our lives when we're reminded about something that will invoke strong emotion. Sometimes this is good, and other times we're reminded of things that we had wanted to forget. Often our memory can become personalized, obscured over time. When two siblings talk about a shared memory from childhood, they often can remember two very different versions of the incident. Perhaps they each remember the other breaking the living room window. Memorials are used in the Bible from beginning to end, and yet there's something that seems to be foreign to us today. Are these the equivalent to a New Year's resolution? How are they used in the Bible, and how should we use them in our lives today? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. I'm Bob Turlow, pastor of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me today, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's an elder here at Westminster. Hey, Rob.
Hi. Why don't you say ruling elder? I'm curious. I'm a ruling elder.
Yes, you are a ruling elder.
I am ruling.
Yes.
Is it because it makes me a maniacal world leader genius kind of person?
No, because there's no other elder being referenced like as in a teaching elder, and just referencing you as one of our elders at Westminster. Serves as a ruling elder here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church, also in Indian Head Park. Same place. Not sure. I guess you just noticed that for the first time. It's been like that for a very, very long time. Maybe you noticed it because like I didn't also say, and he's master student at Reformed Theological Seminary.
Right, because I'm done with that.
Yes. He's a graduate of Reformed Theological Seminary.
I knew you wanted to get that in there. Well, next week is when I would be there. Next week are classes in Orlando.
You were a student.
But I'm done.
But you're done.
But I still have some friends that are going, and they keep sending me messages and stuff, and it's kind of like, I kind of wish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad to be done, but you know, you miss that after a while. That's what the bad stuff all fades, and
you can still audit classes, whether at RTS.
I could take a class. Yeah.
You could take a class, but there's also, you know, we have Mars here.
I do. I'd love to take some classes at Mars.
I was just told by one of our Mars students that that Glenn Clary will be teaching a course on liturgics Mars. Now that Glenn doesn't live here.
He was in Texas.
I don't know how that's going to work out, like if it's a week thing or what, but I'm going to see if I can audit that.
I'd
like that. But there's also MTIOPC courses, Ministerial Training Institute of the OPC, which is not just for ministers, but for licentiates, undercaremen, and ruling elders. Supplemental education.
I've taught my Alexa to call me my lordship.
You taught who?
Alexa.
Did you really?
I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You sure
about
Melody
won't do it. So.
That's not what I heard. I heard she did that all the time.
Yeah, that's what I tell people.
So let's see. You referenced memorials.
I did.
Biblical memorials in the same phrase or within the sentence or two as New Year's resolutions. So help me out here.
Well, first we should say that we were going to have a couple interviews going on, haven't gotten those finished. So those will come at some point.
But. Yeah. So we're going to have a little interlude of a few different things going on here. Maybe one thing over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Until we get the interviews ready. It's just Christmas time was just very busy for a lot of people, especially the people we wanted to interview. Well, the Bible obviously has lots of memorials, and I figured that now that we're at the season of making New Year's resolutions, it was about the same thing, right?
I don't think so. I tend to think of resolutions yes. as something forward-looking, meaning like I'm going to commit myself to doing this in the future in some form, or memorials are something that we're looking back upon.
Right.
Yeah.
And it really what made me think of it was New Year's that made me think of it. But as you read through scripture, you do see these memorials.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And scripture, or I think maybe a modern day understanding of how we are to look at life is forgetting the things that are behind. Scripture says this, mm-hmm. we'll forget the things that are behind, mm-hmm. right? And we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. We're supposed to worry about today. Mm-hmm. So to have this looking back at the past seems to be something that's not within Christianity today, or something that's looked down upon.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate, because I think, you know, a reference that you might be thinking of with not forgetting the things of the past, you correct me, is Paul when he, mm-hmm. but that's looking upon the things that were bad in mm-hmm. He counts them as worthless, and right. They weren't in and of themselves bad, but comparatively speaking to what he has now, right? Referring to Philippians, those things are as dung, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he said. So it's not that you forget the things of the past in the sense of the things of like that God has done in history, or what the things that God has done for you, even mm-hmm. personally. I think God wants us to look upon those things and see and remember. I think remembering is a vital word mm-hmm. In the Old and New Testaments. We just went through 1 Timothy, right? Even there, we see how Paul calls Timothy to remember certain things. Mm-hmm. Remember this, this, and this. And even Paul remembers them about Timothy. He remembers Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother, mm-hmm. and then he calls upon Timothy to remember certain things. So remembering, and then, in the New Testament it is there, we want to remember what Christ has done for us mm-hmm. specifically in his cross, and we have specific things to do that with, right? I think we'll get to that. But Old Testament wants us to remember all the time, right?
Yeah, it seems like every time somebody crossed a river, they put up some sort of memorial.
They put up a memorial, right? And I don't think it's not necessarily something that we mimic today, that we have to do today.
You shouldn't look in your front lawn then.
Yeah, like we've gotten through 2020, so let's put up a memorial, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone would have one on their front steps, but you can remember. I think we can remember how God was faithful to us in 2020, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm thinking of that particularly as a pastor of this particular congregation that I serve, you as an mm-hmm. elder of that congregation that we serve. We can look back upon that as the leadership of a particular congregation and say, how has God been faithful to us in 2020? And we can see how he has been. There's been lots of ups and downs, mm-hmm. lots of strange and difficult things to go through, but how has God been faithful? We can remember those things, mm-hmm. and that should spur us on to remember God's fidelity to his covenant, to his people, that he will always be faithful. And that doesn't mean it's always things that we would categorize as yippee-ki-yay or this is wonderful, right. In the sense of, everything is, flowers and ponies. Right. But, going through the downtimes, you can look at God's faithfulness and how he preserves his people in the midst of difficulties and trial and tribulation and all those types of things.
Yeah, I think what we see in the Old Testament a lot of times is setting up memorials and looking back to those memorials for that generation, but more importantly for the future generations.
To look upon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lest they forget.
Yeah.
So they were there, like you're talking about memory. Mm-hmm. These memorials are there so you remember something very specific about God.
Yeah.
And we today can look back in our lives. It's good to think back in times of hardship in our own lives and think, wow, that was wonderful how God, what he did through that. Even times that the world will look at and say, oh, that's horrible. That's all horrible. But we have a faithful God.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we have to endure a world that has fallen, that there's sin, that we are sinful, that there's a curse upon this world, and we have to navigate through that. Our Lord is always faithful to us. And so when we go back to the Old Testament, we see these pillars that were being put up, or mm-hmm. all these, look at these, and tell your children to look at these and remember that God brought you out of Egypt. That's always the big one, that God brought you out of Egypt. Or Joshua sets one up after they cross the Jordan. So they're wandering for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Finally, they've entered the promised land and they put up a memorial. Look, this is a memorial that so that future generations will know God brought us to the promised land. He kept his promises. And yet, when you look back over the Exodus, and what do you see? There were 10 plagues that had to drive them out, finally let them go, and then they're pursued by the army who's drowned in the Red Sea. Then they, because of their sin, there's people being swallowed up into hell. There's, famines that they, want quail, and then they finally get their, if they want meat, they finally get their meat, and then they abuse that privilege, and they wander for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And yet God is saying, remember this time, mm-hmm. don't forget, but look at my faithfulness.
Yeah. Because God does set us up. I mean, he does that coming out of Egypt. You have 40 years, as you said, mm-hmm. but then crossing over into the promised land, right? I mean, I think you reference it in Joshua 4. Here, you have it here on our notes, everyone. We have some notes every now and then. Joshua 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for you a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So I think you're right in how it's for looking back at a particular thing that God has done, right? An activity. I mean, the crossing of the Jordan is not only an entrance into the promised land, but the way God does it, it also points you back to the Exodus itself, right? Right. Stopping of waters. So you have two deliverances even being brought to mind when you have the crossing of the Jordan. And the memorial marks them, particularly in the fulfillment of God's promise of bringing them into the promised land. And so the marking of these memorials for the 12 tribes entering in as God had promised is not just for the people there at that time mm-hmm. who built it, right? You see it specifically there. It's a memorial to the children of Israel forever, so that the people of God would be able to look back and see that God is faithful. Look, he answered his promise and he accomplished what he said he would do, so that all the people, that all the children of Israel, as they walk over, as those children's children, look back upon that memorial that would be there until it wasn't. They would see how God mm-hmm. answered his own or accomplished his own will according to his own word, right? He made a promise and he vowed. Now, in that sense, maybe resolutions are significant here, right?
I mean, coming around.
Resolution is something, I mean, right. if it really, you're resolving to do right. something, you're promising yourself that you'll accomplish something. Now, we fail those promises all the time.
Sure.
But God doesn't.
Right.
Right. God doesn't fail. I mean, he vows. I mean, we look at the promises he makes to Abraham, right? And how he, the self-maledictory vows that he makes there, the oath, those vows that he makes, he cannot break. And so you see these memorials stand for the word of God, stand for his oath that he accomplishes what he says he will do.
Mm-hmm. And later on, we have language that where God, who the people have forgotten. We see that language a lot, where mm-hmm. the people forgot yes. what they were supposed to remember. And because of that, what were they doing? They were worshiping false gods. Mm-hmm. They were not obeying the will of the Lord. They lose the law at some point that it's, they find it later. Oh, look at this. And that language is used that they didn't remember, or this generation didn't remember. Mm-hmm. And God actually, when he brings about the curses because of their sin, he sends them off into exile and to Babylon, and you get that language later on of now God remembered, Mm-hmm. His what does he remember? He remembers his covenant.
Yeah.
Now God remembers his covenant, mm-hmm. and he brings back the people.
Yeah.
And so there's this, you know, even God is saying, I will remember my people. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the New Testament, God, I think it's significant that God says about his people, us, mm-hmm. he says, I will remember your sins no more. Mm-hmm. And that idea of remembering has to do with the actual relationship with the people. The people of Israel, when they saw those monuments that were set up, were supposed to remember their relationship to God. And the relationship was a covenant people. So when God says, I will remember your sins no more, the fact that we stand before a holy God, sinless, with our sins even being in God's memory, puts us in that status of that's how we can be his children and his holy children. You know, mm-hmm. we're called holy even now.
Yeah.
Even mm-hmm. though we know that we aren't.
Yeah.
But God is saying, you are my holy children because I remember your sins no more.
Yeah, I mean, in that regard, it's we might even use that language to help us understand it. Of, you know, when he says, I don't remember your sins anymore, it's like, I don't count your sins against you.
Right.
I don't hold these things against you because I held them against my son on the cross. Right. And so I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. I'm not going to hold them against you. I'm not going to account them against you. And so that is that's the glorious wonder of the gospel right there, is that he does not count our sins against us because he counted them against the son, his right. son on the cross, his beloved son on the cross. And he draws us in his son into his presence, right? Mm-hmm. Into the holiest of holy places. And that reminds us, I think, of how memorials tend to be more something that we see in the Old Testament. It's not that remembering right. isn't unimportant in the New, just as you've been right. saying. But the Old Testament has that characteristic of types and shadows, which brings the tangible, mm-hmm. the physical, a bit more prominently, or makes it a bit more prominent. And one place you see that with being drawn into the presence of God through a particular person is marked by memorial as well. Mm-hmm. And that's in Exodus chapter 39, mm-hmm. where you have the setting of the stones that are going to go on the ephod of the priest, the high priest, who goes into the holiest of holy places. And there, just a few verses from it. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signets are engraved with names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So just bringing this out, because mm-hmm. of that language of memorial stones, and again, like the other passage from Joshua, it's for the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, for the 12 tribes of Israel here, these stones are placed on the ephod, and the ephod is what was going to be worn by the priest as the high priest enters into the presence of God. Mm. Now, of course, all typologically here through the tabernacle first, as it's being described here in Exodus in 39, but then it'll eventually be the temple to make their way through all of the circumstance and ceremony to enter into the holiest of holy places. The people of God go with the high priest, just as we go with the high priest into the holiest of holy yeah. places, right? Ephesians 2 tells us that with Christ, we have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places, right? We've brought and been ushered into that place with Christ by faith and united to him. And so when you know, we don't have a memorial stone to tell us that, right? Not a stone.
Right.
But we have...
Well, we have the stone.
We have the stone, right? Yeah. We have the stone, yeah. But we do have other, which you reminded me of, we have other memorials
right.
that teach us the same very thing that is given to us now mm-hmm. that is to be celebrated, let's say, I'm making hints here, of course, celebrated until Christ returns again.
Right.
Right, the Lord's Supper.
Right. And it's something that, you know, we talk about how in the Old Testament you have all these memorials. And they're all important. And they're pointing to the faithfulness of God, to the covenant of God. And in the New Testament, we just don't see it. We don't have those examples of those kind of memorials because we have the memorial. Now, it's more than a memorial.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we are lifted up into the presence of Christ. Given grace through this from Christ, our Lord, as we are brought into his presence spiritually. But it is memorial as well. I mean, we're Zwingli is credited, and those who follow him, with just being memorial, but we say it's more. But we don't want to lose that aspect of memorial. We are supposed to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that through that, our sins are forgiven.
Yeah. I mean, even in the Jesus institution of it, and then Paul's reminder of it in 1 Corinthians 11, the language of remembering is employed, right?
Right.
That we are to remember what Christ has done for us. We do this in remembrance of him. You know, most, at least in our circles, Protestant Reform circles, if there's a table to be had, mm-hmm. that's been, you know, built for this purpose, it says something on it like in remembrance of me.
Right.
And we have this table that is there for when we observe the Lord's Supper to do this in remembrance of him and his fulfillment of the covenant of grace through his death and through his resurrection, which we celebrate in the sacrament. And so we have a memorial. Whenever we celebrate this, whenever we administer this sacrament, a memorial is done, mm-hmm. right? There's no doubt about that. It's more than that. It's mm-hmm. more than that, but it's definitely a memorial. It's a memorial to, we proclaim his death. Mm-hmm. And this is just a wonderful way that, you know, I mean, and to move from all the memorials of the Old Testament, right, that mm-hmm. are there, and we only, you know, reference to from Joshua and from
many more.
Exodus. Those memorials signifying these wonderful works of God and how he is fulfilling his promises and how he is working through various individuals and bringing about the salvation of his people and then to fulfill it in Jesus Christ and to kindly give us a memorial mm-hmm. that is perpetual as a perpetual remembrance. It's some of the language we use when we yeah. celebrate it. Until he comes again. It's just what a blessing that is to mm-hmm. us. And, you know, we're beginning a new year, you know, as we look back upon this year, I don't know if everyone has any memorials that they're setting up, you know, to celebrate this year, but, you know, let's not look to those things. Let's look to what God mm-hmm. has done, right? Let's look to the wonderful work of Christ. Yeah. 2000 years ago, but ever present in our lives. You read the word, life comes out mm-hmm. of death. You know, the power of God, the Spirit of God unto salvation is through the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when, especially with the Old Testament, that we are people, as people, we have strong emotions when it comes to when we're reminded about something.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to be reminded about something, that's really where this language that Paul was using, that you were talking about, where forget the things that are behind. Yeah. When we think back of our sin, first of all, we're not to continue in those sins. We're to forget those, forgetting in the sense of not practicing
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we have to remember, because one of the things that the devil will do is he will bring up our past sins. And if we, you know, the Screwtape Letters is so good because I was just reading Lewis with the Space Trilogy. I was just rereading it. And this whole idea of the devil trying one way to get you to either despair or to not go to church or whatever the devil's trying to get you to do,
mm-hmm.
He'll try one way, and then if that doesn't work, he'll try another way. And so when all of a sudden comes to our mind is, well, you know, you're such a sinner. Yeah, you know this bad thing that happened to you today? It could be something just, you know, somebody cut you off in traffic
mm-hmm.
and sideswiped your car. I mean, something like that, that's just kind of gotten under your skin. And you know, then happy, you know what? You really deserve that because you're a sinner. And Paul's saying, no, forget those. Don't let the devil bring up your past sins, your failures, mm-hmm. because Your identity is in Christ. Remember Christ.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't forget everything in our past. We should just link it through the gospel.
Yeah. We are a people prone to finding our faults, right? Mm-hmm. As sinners. I mean, that's not a bad thing, right? Knowing your fault, mm-hmm. knowing your sin. In fact, where we don't know it, we need to know.
Knowing
it,
right? Where we stumble is something that's very important.
But when we come to Christ, he wants us to know who we are in him. And he wants us to live accordingly. Now, we won't do that perfectly, but he wants us to be reminded and encouraged and strengthened by the new relationship we have with him, that we're united to him, that we have a new heart, that we have, that we're a part of a new creation because he's made us a new creation. And all of that will remembering those things, right? That's a significant spiritual act of remembering. It's not just a mental exercise. It includes that, of course. It's a mental activity, but there's more to it than that, right? When you're remembering what God has done for you and how it has affected you, it is effective in you. Mm. We talk about the thing called effectual calling, right? And we pray for the sermons to be effectual in us, for the word of God to affect us and to change us. And then these things will do that. And that memorial, right, if we call it that, of the Lord's Supper, in that instance, will do that. Because it is more than just a mental activity of memory, right? There's something going on there spiritually, as we believe it in the Reformed tradition and understanding of the Lord's Supper. It's a spiritual presence of Christ to change us and to nourish us and to strengthen us and to turn us more and more unto Christ and turn us away from those things. And that's the, you mentioned forgetting, right, and going into exile earlier. That's when you forget, as Christians, we forget, right? And we get out of the habit of going to church when we're supposed to. You gotta go to church. Yeah, well, why? Because God wants you to remember every Sunday.
Right.
He gives you a weekly reminder, right? You get something like that. It pops up on your phone all the time. These reminders. Well, God gives you one, and it's called Sunday, the Lord's Day. It's a weekly reminder. And to worship him and to know who you are in relationship to him. First, a sinner who has been saved by grace, right? This is a wonderful thing that God has given to us in his grace and his kindness to turn us and to change us always back to him. Yeah, it's really good.
You know, turning this around, when we talk about remembering, and we know that we are, those of us who are in Christ are loved by God, he will never forget us. He would never forsake us. So we know that God's memory of us is eternal. But it's really telling when the scripture tells us that those who are not in Christ will stand before God and he will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Mm-hmm. And it's very sobering. And that's kind of, there's this understanding of people that will say, "Well, wait a minute, didn't I..." No. You remember me. I'm the guy that did X, X, X. And of course, it's always looking at their works.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously, they're just proving that they're not believers because they're looking at themselves for their own salvation. And yet God says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." There's something more, because we know that it's not as if God really doesn't know this person. When we say no, we use that word just so freely. And it desensitizes it. We lose the true meaning of what definitely means there, but in other places in scripture. And he's saying, "I know my people." But when people who are not in Christ, he doesn't know them. That should send chills up and down our spines. And should make us more energetic in our witnessing, in our prayer. Mm-hmm. That God would turn the hearts of those who are against him. The reason why I keep hesitating is because I don't even think, even saying it biblically, I don't feel the weight mm-hmm. of, because we use the word know, you know, oh, I know him or know, you know, we use that so generically. Mm-hmm. And yet in scripture, it's being used very intimately.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, we certainly know that word as being an intimate word. It's, you know, describes the intimacy between a husband and a mm-hmm. wife. You know, Eve and Adam knew each other. And that's how it's described. And the knowledge of God knowing or not knowing an individual and saying, I did not know you at that coming day, mm-hmm. Should affect something in us, a sense of awe, reverence again, as we come before our God. And because of the grace and the kindness he has shown us, that he does know us, that he does know his people, that he has known, and well, how does he know? He identified with us so much so, right? The Son of God becomes man. We're, you know, just coming out of the Christmas season, right? The incarnation is how Jesus Christ has identified himself with his people. Mm-hmm. Even more than that, he goes to the cross, suffering the sin, suffering the consequences, rather, of the sin, our sin. He identifies himself in every way necessary for our salvation in this world, becoming man. So, and suffering to the point of the cursed death and a cross, that identification, that understanding of who we are, that intimate understanding of who we are, that is just such a, it deserves our reverence. It deserves our awe in light of it. But, and to get to where I think you were talking about with regard to then thinking of other people that don't know that God will call that upon, I do not know you. Well, that's a very difficult thing for us to grab hold of, because for the most part, those people don't care.
Right.
Right. They don't care. Right. They're blinded. They're in darkness. They don't see the need to bend the knee and repent. They don't acknowledge their own sin. They don't see God as a good creator. They don't even see God. They know God, right? We know that's the same language, right? Mm-hmm. They suppress the knowledge in unrighteousness, right. Paul tells us. So there you get back to that language of knowledge, and interestingly, just going back there, they know God, but they don't know God at the same time, right? And so you have, it's hard.
Yeah, it really is, but we know that our trust for our own salvation mm-hmm. is in Christ. Our mm-hmm. trust for their salvation is also in Christ. We you know, when we look at them, the people now, I mean, I'm talking about in general, all the people that we know that are not Christians, mm-hmm. we pray for them. And it's through the Holy Spirit that their hearts can be opened up. And that's where our hope is. And we know that there will be those who reject or those who are sent away that God mm-hmm. does not know at mm-hmm. that point. We know that that happens. We also know that God is gracious and he is merciful. And so for those of our friends and family that maybe we've been praying mm-hmm. for 20 or 30 years and we see no fruit, we see no acknowledgement of God in their lives at all, God is still merciful. And so we pray, we get up in the morning, we pray again, and we get up in the morning, we pray again, because who knows what God will do? And we are told, pray. You have not because you ask not. Pray fervently. And God will save his people. And that our hope is always in that. Our hope is always in Christ, not only for our salvation, but for their salvation. And one thing that is kind of hammers us home is John 6, where Jesus is saying, nobody can come to me unless the Father calls him, but all who come I will keep. Mm-hmm. And through a series of going back and forth with the Pharisees there, we eventually get to John 10. Where Christ is saying, because they keep challenging him on this. And he says, look, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Mm-hmm. And I will raise them up in the last day. Their salvation, our salvation, is secure in Christ. And then when he says to them, well, what do you mean? You know, they can't understand his language. He says, you don't understand me because you're not my sheep. And he's saying, I don't know you. You don't know me. But we can be rest assured that he does know us, that he will keep us. And in the end, we will stand before him without any sin, without any regret. That's all taken away. Eventually, for eternity, we do not spend time in eternity regretting or thinking about our sin. We are not in sorrow. We are not in repentance because our sins are forgiven. And we are with our Lord and Savior. The only memories that we'll have will be of how Christ, in his righteousness and his mercy, saved us.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Again, you can find us, of course, at reformforum.org, and you can check out all the wonderful things that have been going on there throughout 2020 and the years leading up to 2020. Reformed Academy is, I think, their newest thing going on, and so you can check that out and the many good courses that they have. And if you have any comments, questions for us, you can go to mail@reformedforum.org and contact us there. Also, if you want to check out the church that Rob and I serve at, you can go to westminsteropc.org, or for other OP congregations in Chicagoland, chicagoreformed.org. Rob, what are we talking about in the next couple of weeks?
We're going to be talking about the kingship of Christ.
Okay, wonderful. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.